just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com.
Always here are the queen waves.
Not off with my head.
Not off with your head. Not yet. We'll see how this podcast goes.
Off with their heads.
I was really excited to find out that the next movie that we were watching in our Watch All the Disney Movies series of podcasting was my favorite, Alice in Wonderland.
Your favorite ever?
I don't know why. I can't give you a distinct reason why, other than maybe some nostalgia involved, but legitimately, it's my favorite Disney movie.
It is full of ridiculousness and fun.
It is completely ridiculous. And my favorite part of watching it with you was you saying, okay, make sure you help me understand the plot.
Right.
And I got to say, there is no plot.
For the first time in history. Because the last ones we've seen slip past me pretty quickly if you're not paying close attention. And
right.
You have no concept of the story.
Yeah.
And so I was prepared in advance for this one. And then I get the fortunate news of finding out that there is no plot, and boy, were you right.
Well, and they all speak in the English accents, which sometimes, with their old way of recording things, does get a little muddy.
Yeah.
And so there are still lines that I can recite to you, but I'm not 100% sure that I'm reciting them correctly.
Yeah.
So, it's one of those. One of those films.
It was pretty easy to understand, though. The dialogue was good. And that was one of the things that struck me pretty quickly was how clean it was.
Mm.
For 1951, this always continues to surprise me about how clean all of their work was. You know,
because
you think about other things that they would have been able to go see in the theaters back then. To see this would have been like a masterpiece, right?
Well, and it's so colorful and pretty. And, you know, I really like Alice. When I was a kid, every summer we would visit my grandparents in California, and they had relatively few movies. They didn't have a lot of grandchildren when I was especially young. My sister and I were their first grandchildren.
They were all things like I would enjoy, like documentaries.
I'm sure they had a lot of them. Yeah, a lot of that kind of stuff.
I would have been there.
I know.
Would have been there for it.
Had I only watched those, I might be more intelligent than I am now.
Oh, I don't know.
But one of the few that my grandmother had was Alice in Wonderland, Disney's Alice in Wonderland. And so we watched that a lot. And I think it just reminds me of summer and responsibility-free time and getting to hang out with my grandparents. You know, it's all positives. So I think that's kind of where my affinity for it comes from.
Yeah.
But it's very non-linear.
Completely.
Which...
right.
Everyone who's ever made a Alice in Wonderland movie have come up against the fact that there is no through line.
Which is absolutely fine. I love it.
Yeah.
In today's day and age, I am all for it. And that's why I said, I don't know, like, I think that I'm done with documentaries. I'm done with these epic storylines that are so complex and confusing and over the top and nuanced.
No. MCU universe.
No, that's not what I want. I want a white rabbit jumping down the road watching his, you know, fixing his time watch with jam.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
You'll get crumbs in it.
Oh.
It's a wild ride. And honestly, just throwing it out there, if Disney Plus wanted to do an episodic version of Alice in Wonderland, I think it would work so well. There are multiple books of Alice and her adventures through Wonderland. You would have infinite amounts of things to work with. You already have the design down. Mary Blair did amazing concept art for the movie. You'll see her artwork in It's a Small World. That's all Mary Blair.
Oh, wow.
And it's a look and a character that you already have. So it would be awesome if they could turn it into an episodic type of thing where there is no need for a through line. You can just have fun adventures every time.
Right. And they are cute and sweet and playful and fun and funny.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, they were funny, right?
It is a funny movie, isn't it? It's weird and funny. It starts right off the bat with her talking to her cat. It's funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
She's like...
I was pretty proud of myself that I figured out fairly quickly the storyline, though.
Oh, yeah?
Because I've seen Wizard of Oz, and I was like, I have a feeling.
Right. Well, and Alice...
And you were there, and you were there, right. and you.
And no, Alice is pretty famously, it was all a dream. Like, it's very much that.
You would think so, for everybody but me.
Right. It's true.
The only person on Earth that doesn't know the storyline to Alice.
I always try to figure out where exactly she falls asleep, though. Because when mm-hmm. she wakes back up, she's sitting up against the tree. So did she fall asleep before she started singing? So is she singing in her dream? Like,
I do.
Oh, do you? How do you sound?
No, I laugh a lot in my sleep, though.
Yeah, okay. But the singing stuff, I think her little song that she does is in the dream.
I think so, too.
But who knows? And then she immediately runs into the one through line that we do have is the white rabbit with a waistcoat and a watch.
Yeah.
Which she then chases pretty much through the whole film, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And I remember the drink me part and eat me and all those other ones because that's hilarious.
Yeah.
And you had that on your phone for a while.
Mm-hmm. My background for a long time was Alice sitting in the bottle after she cried.
Oh dear, I do wish I hadn't cried so much.
And the doorknob is great.
Yeah.
And you know, he's like, oh, a little of that went a long way, you know. It's so dry and funny, and then she gets through and she runs into the dodo bird. And they have their caucus race little number thing.
Yeah.
And my grandma is very fond of telling us how smart she is, and she told us about how a lot of people see Alice in Wonderland as a satirical look at the English government and how C.S. Lewis saw that, and you can see that in this scene particularly, where the dodo is a politician standing up on a rock drying himself off in front of a fire while everyone else is running around in circles around the rock in the water. And he's like, you've got to get up and run. You're never going to get dry like that. And she's like, yeah, it's very interesting to see how they slide those things in there on you.
Right. Yeah, and it obviously is a play on that, because otherwise why would those scenes be in there?
Right.
So that is what... And it's a dialogue of a...
The other thing that you notice real quick is the music. There are songs probably every 3.5 seconds in this movie.
Right, and they're also catchy.
They're little catchy tunes that just kind of get stuck in your head.
Every one of them.
And I think they're super fun. I think it, correct me if I'm wrong, I know you've done some research. The last time I looked, it held the record for the most songs in a single Disney film.
I don't know if I did see that, but I would agree with you.
Yeah.
I know the new Mary Poppins Returns had 22 songs in total. And I don't know if that's possible to beat, but
that's
a lot. Yeah, and those were all, a lot of them felt to be in Mary Poppins Returns, these great big epic,
ballads and stuff.
That's what was so fun about this is they were also playful that you every time a new one popped up, you're like, I love it.
Right.
Keep it going, folks. Keep it going.
I love the little stupid songs. They make me smile.
Right.
And
yeah,
like
me too.
Then when she runs, I didn't realize that the poetry that a lot of the characters are singing and stuff was written by C.S. Lewis, which I did not realize. But then there are also other poems that they're just reciting from other writers. So I'm not really sure how that works. Because I've looked over
from everybody for this show.
Right. I've seen some of the poetry that they're quoting and I'm like, oh, that's from Alice in Wonderland, but this was not written by C.S. Lewis. That's really interesting. Specifically Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Yeah.
They do The Walrus and the Carpenter. And then they do Father William. And I wish I would have looked it up before I started talking, but I know Father William is not written by C.S. Lewis. So it's just like a weird...
thievery?
It's like almost a nod to other writers, I guess, that they were going for. Because C.S. Lewis famously was very tangled up in his writing, and he was very intricate. And he didn't like answering questions about his work, because in all honesty, it's all a lot of nonsense. So when people would press him for answers about things, he would just kind of brush it off.
How fun. I want to be that eccentric.
Right?
And get away with it.
You want to be an eccentric British man writing poems?
More than you know. Nonsensical stuff.
I'm glad we finally got to watch it, though, because anytime you've ever said, I was curious about it, I always say, oh, the oysters were curious too, weren't they? And now you have, now you know what I'm talking about when I say that to you. Although I won't quote the whole song to you because that's a long, a long number.
I should have Googled why oysters are only available in months that start with R.
That's when there's, you're supposed, it's an old adage apparently, because I didn't know that for the longest time as a kid. When he's talking to the oysters underwater and the mother oyster looks at her calendar and it says March with, and then the R flashes. And I was like, what on earth is that about?
Danger.
And apparently oysters are most fresh in months that have R's in them.
Fall and winter months and March.
Right? Like April, March. I don't know.
Interesting.
It's
not an oyster eater.
I'm not.
Chicken nuggets are fresh all year round.
Yeah,
I don't care what
people say.
There isn't
a bad time to eat a chicken. So. So yeah, interesting.
It's similar though. You can only eat those on days that end in Y. So kind of the same thing.
Right. Just be careful about that. I don't think people many know that rule.
No. Brand new. You heard it here today, folks. Breaking news.
But then you finally get to see like the inspiration for the attractions in Disneyland too, that maybe didn't make sense before.
Enough. It's a cute, fun ride. It was one, it's one of their best dark rides. And especially with the all the enhancements that have been in it. It's the only version I've seen is with the added graphics that are moving throughout the show, you know? I'm sorry, throughout the ride.
Yeah.
And yeah, it looks great. Absolutely looks great. I watched one video that showed the before and after, and it's exactly what you would expect, a very simple dark ride. And then the new one, you're like, wow, it's so fresh.
It's a, more of a complete experience when they're able to add in extra bits, you know,
truly.
And then they have the
but they do that with so many of their rides now that it's so great.
It's true.
What keeps it going. Other theme parks, maybe not so much.
We do run into my favorite characters though, the Mad Hatter and the March Hare.
Right.
They're the epitome of ridiculousness in Alice in Wonderland, and I think that's why everybody likes them.
Probably.
And they inform you that you have one birthday, only one birthday every year, but there are 364 unbirthdays.
Listen, folks, this is the best philosophy of life I have ever heard of. Why celebrate the one day when you can celebrate the other 364?
Right.
Oh, so great.
And they sing the Very Merry and Birthday song, which is super fun.
So good.
So good.
I now want birthday cake 364 days a year.
We'll get right on that.
Right? Can you imagine?
Cut to us being 700 pounds after eating birthday cake every day of
the year. It literally lasts for like a week, because then you'd be like, if I see one more cake.
You have to switch up the cakes a bit so you don't get tired of it. That whole tea party scene is ludicrousness and craziness.
I was trying to figure out why King Turbo was in there, though, right? Like
Turbo. That's a great callback that they did in Wreck-It Ralph. Anyone that's seen it knows that King Candy sounds a lot like the Mad Hatter in Alice in Wonderland.
Exactly like him.
And they illustrated him a lot the same. And I think it was obviously done on purpose. The actor doing the voice for King Candy, Alan Tudyk, is doing his best Ed Wynn impersonation, who is the voice of the Mad Hatter.
So interesting.
So, yeah, you kind of get that weird connection there that I think is just out of respect. And I think it was a lot of the characterization that he wanted to put in King Candy.
Yeah, I could see that.
Similar to the Mad Hatter, right?
I could see that.
And then you also get the famous, the most famous riddle that C.S. Lewis ever wrote at the tea party. Why is a raven like a writing desk? And this is the thing that I've seen famously people pester him about, because he never gives an answer to the riddle in the book. And people would pester him constantly with, why is a raven like a writing desk? Why is a raven like a writing desk? And he's basically said, I wrote it as an unanswerable riddle. It's just nonsense. Stop asking me is about. They're nonsense characters. Not everything has to make sense. Calm down.
I remember when I was a kid, we used to talk about that. They're like, I challenge you to find a song that has no meaning to it. Like, every single song is about something. And it was a game that we'd play.
Huh.
Maybe there's an answer to it. No idea. But now we have a show.
Right.
But, you know, even with that said, there is something to be said for the show. Because it is, you know, she was dreaming about a different time and a different place that she could go to that would be fun and mystical and whatnot.
And have then, no rules and be nonsense. Yeah,
and she found out that it was overwhelming. And she wanted to get back to her regular life, right?
Very much so.
And I think that's a great philosophy of life, too, that, like, sometimes we do ask for more in life, and then you go, "Ooh, no." Well, no, thank you. I'll go back to what I had.
Especially as adults, I think you have those moments where you're like, oh, I just wish my life was simple. I wish I didn't have a care in the world. I wish everything was fun and nonsense all the time. And then you get into a situation where you're dealing with nonsense for an extended period of time, and you decide, you know what? I would rather have some order in my life. This is ridiculous, right? And not as much fun as you would think it would be.
So I did relate with the show quite well.
Oh, you get, yeah. You're right there with Alice.
Did not mean it. Did not mean it. Plus, I love her dress, so I'm just kidding.
Her blue dress is very pretty.
I really don't.
And then she runs back into the Cheshire Cat, which propels her to the Queen of Hearts.
Yes.
The quote-unquote antagonist of the film. I don't know that she counts as a real antagonist. She's just kind
loud.
Of
loud.
Yeah, she's a little brash and over the top.
Whenever I see her represented in the parks in any way, I always find it so just awesome. I just love her look and her aesthetic, and so much so that I really pushed for that in the patch that we did for Alice in Wonderland, right?
Mm-hmm.
That I wanted that reflected in there. I thought it was super cool, and I still do. Awesome.
It's a cool patch.
Yeah. Totally agree with that. And then I see her in the movie, and I'm like, oh, she is loud, isn't she?
Interesting story about the Queen of Hearts in the parks. I went a long time ago to the parks, and I had a small wager with somebody who was going to the parks at a different time.
Okay.
And they wanted to see which of us could get more pictures with characters.
Ah.
And I said,
ah. You win.
No, I will not. Gross. But I said, how about this? I will take pictures of characters.
Oh.
You know, so that I will see how many I might have taken pictures with. How about that instead? And I was walking through an area, and the Queen of Hearts was coming towards me. I was like, oh, perfect. I can take a picture of her. And this gave me something to do when characters come around, other than just corpse up, where I'm like, oh, gosh, they're too close. And so I get my... This will tell you how long ago this was. I was wearing my cargo pants. I pull my camera out of my cargo pants, and I take a picture of her.
Rewound the film a little bit.
Right. Click, click, click. And then I'm putting my phone back in my pocket, and I look up, and she's standing right in front of me.
Oh, no.
And I had to stop myself from swearing, because she scared me.
You thought she was going to be off with your head?
Yeah, well, and you know, my problem with the characters is you never know who's in there, so it always just kind of weirds me out.
Right.
And then she kind of, like, just stared at me for a minute, and I was like, just frozen. And then she moved on, and I'm sure whoever it was has no memory of this, but it was so ingrained in me that I, like, look down and look up, and she's in my face.
Sneak right up on you.
I still have nightmares. It's terrible.
That's so funny. That's hilarious.
But for the last third of the film, the Queen of Hearts is just basically dragging Alice around by her hair. Like, it's just her steamrolling the whole story for the last part of the film.
Right, but the croquet scene is hilarious.
So good.
And they pick her up and turn her into the croquet stick.
Ugh, the flamingos are so good.
Yeah, it's funny.
Some comedic relief in there.
The whole show is comedic relief, so it's just perfect. I love it.
The Cheshire Cat's shall we make her really mad? No, don't do that. Oh, but it's so much fun, you know. He's just complete he's just chaos in a world of chaos, which makes it extra fun.
So I read that Tim, what's his name? The guy that did Jack Skellington and stuff.
Tim Burton?
I heard he did a version of Alice, right?
Oh, why did you have to bring that up?
Is this
up?
What we're talking about next week on this little podcast?
Oh, gosh, if we have to.
Yeah. Not likely, we'll see.
Some people really enjoyed Tim Burton's version.
Yeah.
They're few and far between. I think it should have been named something different. Instead of calling it Alice in Wonderland, it needed to be given a different name, because it's really not the same thing. And with two Disney's Alice in Wonderland, now you have to make the differentiation between the animated version and Tim Burton's version.
That's a really good point. I do like that they did that with like Tangled and stuff, that they come up with a little bit newer, fresher name.
Right.
I do
like that. And personally, I thought Tim Burton, Alice in Wonderland would work together really, really well.
I would too.
His style is very gothic and twisty and weird.
Uh-huh.
And you would think it would work out great. But I think people, again, went in with expectations and just kind of were disappointed by it.
Mm.
So if we must watch it, I suppose we can. But you'll have to force me, because I don't want to.
Yeah, right. If anybody wants to hear it, get it on Instagram or something.
Yeah, let us know if that's something you're really interested in.
If not, it's back to Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
So, first time viewing of Alice in Wonderland, what's your final verdict on Alice?
Oh, holy cow. Wow. An absolute A+.
Yeah.
Loved it. This is one that I would love to watch over and over again. I like mindless television, if that's such a thing, you know, if you're allowed
absolutely.
To say that.
Mm-hmm.
I love nothing more than that. So for that reason alone, I like that this is not a huge epic undertaking. It's just,
sure.
you know, fun. And then she gets angry and wants to cut off people's heads and... then she wakes up. Oh, spoiler.
Spoiler. And
now a spoiler.
I love it. The last interesting fact I have about it is that Walt was not happy with Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, he really?
He apologized, saying that he's sorry that they made a film with no heart.
And, interesting.
I can see where he might have been disappointed with that. However, I personally find it infinitely enjoyable and have zero problems with it being as it is.
Oh, that is interesting. I did read that they had to re-release that one a couple of times too in order to get it to, and then it went onto TV, and then it started becoming popular that way, and that's how it started making money.
Yeah.
Otherwise it was considered a flop in its time.
Right.
Interesting.
So I give it an A, but I know I'm biased because I just love it anyway.
It was my first time seeing it, and I loved it as well.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen it, go out and watch it. You'll undoubtedly love it, right?
I'm getting excited for Chitty Chitty Bang Bang's coming up. I watched that as a kid. Oh, but just saying.
I don't think that's a Disney movie, is it?
It is.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
It's on the list.
Oh, I own it. So we will
even better
be watching it. But it's like I always say, oh, you can't help that. We're all mad here. You might have noticed I'm not quite all there myself.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.